the Financial Sense Lifetime Income Program. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team, Jim Poplava and John Loeffler.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jim Poplava, and welcome to this week's edition of Lifetime Income.
And I'm John Loeffler. You know, owning a home has been the American dream, especially since World War II. Soldiers came back from the war and wanted to build the ideal family life. Real estate has been a great asset for building wealth for many, many people. Many of the nation's richest families and individuals have built fortunes in real estate, including our current president, Donald Trump. Our focus this year has been on the stock market, largely, but real estate has also done well with prices up an average of about 6% for the year. And despite the coming change with the new tax laws, assuming that they do get passed, experts are believing that 2018 will be another good year for real estate as well. So what we'd like to do on today's program is focus on real estate, the proposed tax law changes, and how that type of investment could affect your retirement.
You know, we've talked and done a number of shows over the last couple of weeks on the provisions. Of course, they differ a little bit between the House and Senate, and they are working those differences out. They hope to have that for reconciliation next week, vote on it, and on the president's desk by Christmas. But just quickly here, we're going to go over some things that affect real estate. Under the new tax proposal, property tax deductions would be limited and capped at $10,000, and mortgage interest expense, which is now $1 million plus $100,000 for a second mortgage, would be cut in half to $500,000. And instead of owning a home 2 out of 3 years to get that $250,000 or $500,000 exemption on any profits, home ownership would have to be increased 5 out of the last 8 years. So the advantages of tax reform takes a bite out of much of home ownership, because for individuals, if you're, let's say, a salaried employee, you know, one of your biggest deductions are state taxes, property taxes, interest on your mortgage, pretty much makes up the majority of itemized deductions for those that do. Well, those are going to be restricted, taken away, and limited.
You know, every once in a while, I wonder if Congress is actually thinking through all the implications of these bills they tend to cram through. Have they really thought what these changes might do, especially in high tax states like California, you know, Illinois, New York, places like that?
You know, that's funny, because there have been several studies done by Wall Street firms on the implication of high cost of living areas like New York and California. In fact, the National Association of Realtors, which are trying to fight this, they're in Washington with the lobbying on trying to preserve as many deductions as possible. They warned this could impact home ownership in states like my own in California, where tax benefits are needed to help offset high home prices. I mean, if you take a look at whether you're looking at Long Island, you're looking at New Jersey Shores, or you're looking at California, I don't care if it's San Diego, Los Angeles, Santa Barbara, San Francisco, John, the price of real estate here, I mean, our definition of a millionaire is a California homeowner. In San Francisco, $1.4 million is the median price. It's close to $700,000 in LA, and it's over $600,000 in San Diego. So, you know, it's not just the fact that they're going to take away some of these deductions for property taxes, limit the amount of a home mortgage, but they're also taking away state taxes. So this is really going to impact many of those high tax states like my own. And that's why recently several investment banks, from Goldman Sachs to Morgan Stanley, predict high-end homes in states like California and New York, where real estate prices are rather high, could lose as much as 4 or 5% as residents move out of these high tax states.
Okay, so with the elimination of state taxes, we have the mortgage deduction being cut in half and other factors. How do you think this is going to affect home ownership? I mean, obviously people don't just own a home in order to get a tax deduction, but it is a factor.
Well, I mean, the key to home ownership, really, when you think about it, is access to cheap credit. And as long as mortgage rates remain low, housing should continue to do well for one reason. Number one is availability. We don't have a lot of excess inventory, unlike the housing crisis in the last decade. Number two, rising rents, and especially in areas like California, where environmental laws restrict building in other places along the coast. So, John, there isn't a lot of surplus out there. If we had a lot of surplus inventory, that would be something else. But right now, the real key thing is, what can you get a mortgage for? And unlike the crazy mortgages that we saw in the last decade, today you can get a reasonable mortgage. A 30-year mortgage today is around 4.25%. A 15-year mortgage is around 4%. And a 7-1 adjustable rate mortgage, meaning it's amortized over 30 years, but the rate is fixed for 7, you can get a 7-1 mortgage for 3.75%. So as long as mortgage rates remain low and rents keep rising as they do here in California, the residential real estate market should do well, helped by a number of things going on in the economy. We've got faster economic growth. The economy is growing now over 3%. We've got rising wages and the lowest unemployment rate that we've seen in almost 17 years. So all of those are favorable factors that help the real estate market.
Okay, so other than places like, we always pick on California, it's one of those high states. Other than California making things a little more difficult there, any other side effects that we're not noticing here?
You know, if there's one area or trend we see accelerating, especially with very wealthy individuals as a result of this tax bill, and also, by the way, retirees, is migration out of these high tax, high cost of living states to areas where there's no tax, low tax, or states with a low cost of living. I mean, I visit Arizona because I have family there. John, the minute I get to Yuma, cross into Arizona, I mean, the cost for a gallon of gasoline almost drops by a dollar. Utility rates are cheaper. Taxes are cheaper. Property taxes, state income taxes, and housing itself. You can get a nice house for, you know, $400,000 or $500,000 in Scottsdale, where, you know, there's no way you're going to get something like that in California. That would probably would buy you a garage here. So we're going to see a large tax migration from the East and West Coast, more towards the center of the country, with the exception of maybe Florida, which remains the highest state recipient of tax refugees. In the study that was done on millionaires, they studied 3.5 million tax returns. The number one state with the most millionaires going as a result of, let's say, tax refugee status has been Florida. So, John, I think you're going to see a lot more of that, and it'll accelerate as a result of two things, taxes and cost of living. And that is seriously impacting a lot of retirees. I know in our own case here in our own practice in California, we see, I would say, probably 15-20% of our clients that are retiring here in California, in order to have a better lifestyle, to afford or have a nicer retirement, they're selling their expensive homes here with a lot of equity, and they're going to places like, for at least what we're seeing in our practice, Texas, Arizona, and Nevada tend to be three places that we're seeing a lot of people move to. They sell the high valued home here in California, pocket the gains. They moved to Arizona. You can go to Sun City and buy a nice place for a couple $100,000. Compare that to California, where that same house would probably run you $700,000, $800,000, or $900,000.
So as we've pointed out in a lot of our real life case studies here on Lifetime Income, a lot of your clients, Jim, have made the decision in retirement to reduce taxes and also to look for more affordable housing in other parts of the country. There are a lot of places you can go to get a lot of good deals on housing and reduce what your costs are going to be in retirement.
And that's a trend, John. This was first mentioned. We did an interview a number of years ago with a well-known Wall Street credit analyst, Meredith Whitney, and she did a book on the state of the states. And it was her contention, as a result of cost of living, resources, government regulation, budget deficits, you were going to see this migration from the country outward moving inward, meaning that both people on the West Coast and people that live on the East Coast were going to move to those areas where taxes are lower, cost of living was lower, there was less business regulations. Texas has been a big recipient of businesses moving out of California. In fact, they advertise over here, and I mean, they're chopping at the bit with this tax bill, because with California being the highest cost of living and highest tax state in the country, you know, you go to Texas, the cost of living is cheaper and there's no income taxes, and the business climate, instead of being hostile, is actually friendly. So I would suspect that you're going to see this trend continue, and I see no reason why that would change in any way.
The one impression you do get from the tax bill, rather than being relief for everybody, where everyone goes, whew, okay, finally we're better off, there are clear winners in this and there are losers in this, and it's been pretty complicated. So sometimes it's a little harder to figure out who's who. Who do you see the winners and losers as being?
Well, I mean, the obvious winners just right off the bat are going to be those low cost of living and no tax states. So Nevada, low tax state like Arizona, Texas, Florida, Washington State, Tennessee. There are a number of states where the taxes are low. So that's the obvious winner. But also there's provisions in this tax code that will make owning investment real estate more favorable. The main benefit will come from lower tax rates for corporations, partnerships, and subchapter S corporations. So if you own, for example, rental real estate, you're still going to get the property tax deduction. There is going to be no limit on the mortgage that you put on the property. So all of those things are going to be deductible to you. And they're also changing the depreciation laws, especially in commercial real estate, to make it more favorable. So the fewer years that you have to depreciate your building or whatever it is you own, apartment complex, the higher the tax deduction. So, John, all of that can be written off, where if you take a look at residential real estate next year, you're going to be limited on your mortgage deduction. You're going to be limited on your property tax deduction. Well, none of that is going to be taken away for investment real estate. So investment real estate retains all of its tax write-offs, and then they're actually going to improve it with the tax rates. And this is where it really gets sort of exciting when you're thinking about real estate. In addition to real estate investments, there are things like real estate investment trust, or what we call REITs, and master limited partnerships. Now, depending on what version, whether you're looking at the Senate version or you're looking at the House version, they would lower the tax rates on the income you receive from REITs and MLPs from 39.6%, which is the high tax rate now. You would have a more favorable tax rate of 29.6% or 25%, depending on which one they finally negotiate and put into place. So let's say you're a retiree, you're looking for a source of income. REITs are well known for paying high dividends, because the REITs are going to have two advantages if this tax bill goes into effect. Number one, as a real estate investment trust, it's a pass-through entity. And what that means is all the income the real estate trust earns, as long as they pass it to you, the shareholder, there is no taxation or corporate tax at the REIT level. Whatever they earn, they pass it on to you, and then you would pay whatever income tax bracket that you have. So there is no double taxation like regular corporations that you see on the stock exchange that have a 35% tax rate. And then when they distribute dividends to you, those dividends are taxed at anywhere from 15% to 23.8%. So REITs now would have two tax advantages: no taxes at the REIT level, and then a lower tax rate at the investor level. So whether you own, let's say, real estate outright as an investment property, or you own it through an entity like a real estate investment trust or a master limited partnership, that will be double tax advantages. So, John, this basically can be a driving force for real estate next year, because real estate has done well since 2012. It's been going up at 5 or 6% a year. It's up 6% this year. And many experts, as my expert interview tomorrow with Kathy Fetke, thinks that real estate could have another good year in 2018. And this tax law will certainly help going along that way.
You know, the Wall Street Journal did an article, they've been following some of these tax law issues, about how this is going to affect individuals. And one example they did of an individual who's buying investment property in California, but renting elsewhere because it's cheaper to do it that way.
Well, it is, because in fact, individuals, you live in a high cost of living state like California, the rents here are very, very high. And so you may consider investing elsewhere to take advantage of the tax shelters available with, let's say, single family homes in low tax jurisdictions or low cost of living states. In fact, my guest tomorrow, Kathy Fetke, part of her business is not only relocating individuals from high tax states to low tax states, but also locating investment properties in, let's say, other states where they're more favorable. In fact, the Wall Street Journal article that you're talking about, John, it was about an engineer that lived in Southern California. They didn't say whether it was San Diego or LA, but he bought two single-family homes in Atlanta with 25% down at a cheaper price, and he was getting a 15% return on his investment. So you could very well see things accelerate under this tax law if this comes into effect. You know, we've been pounding the table here, both in Lifetime Income here over the last probably month or so, but also on the weekend show, that this tax bill is a very, very big deal. We haven't seen anything this big since 1986. It's going to change the economy, the investment markets. It's going to change real estate itself, and it's going to have a personal effect on you and the taxes you pay and where you may want to consider living in the future.
And as Jim mentioned, tomorrow on the program, Kathy Fetke is going to be his guest. How the tax law changes impact investment real estate, as well as the feasibility of what we would call real estate location changes, relocating, going somewhere else where it's a better deal. Now time for our real life case study. Please remember that all of our case studies are hypothetical illustrations based on real life examples. The names and the circumstances have been changed, and we always have slides online at financialsense.com. which illustrate the points being made. So I'm assuming, Jim, we're talking now about real estate and tax law.
A little bit of real estate in this week's case. We're going to talk about Stan and Kate Barnett. Stan is age 55. Kate is age 50. They both want to retire somewhere in the neighborhood of 7 to 10 years. I told Stan if he waited to 67, he would get full Social Security benefits, which will play into their retirement. Stan's life expectancy is 89. Kate is 91. Their risk tolerance is moderate. And their goals are growth and preservation of capital. Now, I'll give you a little background. Stan is a senior manager. He's enjoyed a very successful career working as a software engineer and senior manager for a large telecom company in Southern California. Now, he's enjoyed the company's innovative environment and generous benefits and is looking forward to working another 7 to 10 years. So he's not ready to step down yet. He manages the family finances and makes most of the investment decisions. His main concern is how much they pay in taxes each year, given his high income and, of course, the high cost of living in the state of California. Kate is a business administrator. She enjoyed playing a large part in raising their three children while in their younger years, but is now ready to transition to something new, and especially becoming more independent. Before having kids, she worked as an administrator for a small business and wouldn't mind finding some part-time work for extra income. Her biggest goals include buying a new home and supporting their children through college. On a risk score, they came in around 6, which is a little bit high for most people that nearing retirement. Their portfolio was a 7, most of it invested in stocks and the company stock. Now, what was important to both of them? Number one, they want to reduce taxes. No kidding. If you live in the state of California, you pay high property taxes, high sales taxes, high state income taxes, and high taxes on fees on everything from utilities to car registration, phones, you name it, they tax it. They also wanted to take a look at managing the high cost of living because it's certainly not cheap to live in Southern California. They would like to buy a new home, kind of downsize a little bit from where they are, and of course, maximize their income. If you want to take a look at their budget essentials, it was $107,000, $38,000. For discretionary, roughly about $145,000. Stan's salary was roughly about $190,000, so they had a surplus, which was good, which was helped to build their savings of roughly about $44,000 a year. looking at retirement, they really didn't see any way they could reduce their budget that much. Essentials would still be $96,000, discretionary income $42,000, total budget of $138,000. Now, Stan's pension from the utility company would be $55,000. Their combined Social Security would be $41,000. That would leave them a shortfall of $43,000. And taking a look at that, they wanted to take a look at their investments. So they have rental income of $12,000. That would take their shortfall, reduce it down to $33,000. Their rental income was done as a way of sheltering part of their income, given their high tax bracket. That's one thing about California. Just about everybody is in a 9.3%. You get into the upper income levels, the tax rates jump to 10.3, 11.3, and eventually 13.3. Their primary residence was $890,000. And that was free and clear. Stan's retirement investments were $430,000. Kate's retirement, $120,000. Taxable accounts, they had $535,000 and roughly about a little over $80,000 in the bank. So total investment assets were about $1,167,000. Liabilities were $220,000, mainly on their rental. So managing taxes, buying a home, reaching their retirement goals, and having enough income to last throughout their retirement years, given their life expectancy. So taking a look at everything, the rental income was $12,000, Stan's pension was $55,000, Social Security would be $41,000. Taking a look at all their investments, putting them in a balanced account would produce an additional almost $35,000 of income, bringing their total income to roughly about $143,000, leaving them with a surplus of about $5,000 a year. Now, we explained to Stan and Kate their real estate investing should be advantageous under the new tax bill. We suggested that they consider selling their current home and using some of the proceeds to buy one or two rental properties out of state for the tax benefits. Now, doing this would help decrease their living expenses and create an additional stream of income for them during retirement. We also recommended that they consider downsizing after their kids move out of the house and start attending college. By selling their current residence, they could decrease their monthly expenses by purchasing a smaller, newer home and also use a portion of the cash proceeds to buy the home actually outright if they chose not to go into rentals. We advised Stan and Kate to work with an attorney to set up an LLC for their rental properties for asset protection. We also suggested that both of them max out their retirement savings now that they're over the age of 50, because they each get an additional $5,000 for their 401k program, and that'll rise to $6,000 extra contributions next year, which means that they could put away $24,000 since they had a surplus of roughly $44,000. It just made a lot of sense. So if you look at it, by purchasing a rental property out of state, because it's very hard to buy rentals here and have positive cash flow unless you put a lot of money down, and placing it into an LLC, they would be able to write off their expenses of owning and running the rental property under the new tax bill. In addition, the new tax proposal would allow the rental to become tax advantageous, allowing income to be taxed at a much, much lower rate. And this is something I think that we're going to see a lot more in cases like Stan and Kate. But I think you're going to see a lot more of this, John, once this tax bill gets passed.
Reminder again, Kathy Fetke, the guest on the program tomorrow, how tax law changes impact investment real estate as well as real estate relocation. A question now, we're rounding down toward the end of the year. Jim, anything that we're going to cover that you think is important coming up in the next couple of weeks here before we get to year's end?
John, once again, as we've been talking over the last month, the big, big thing right now is this tax bill. It's impacting the economy. It has impacted the market in this fourth quarter. It's going to impact real estate. It's going to impact migration. This is a really big thing. So we got the increase in the Fed funds rate this month, so we have that behind us. So the only thing going forward is really what happens during the Christmas retail season. I'm sure we'll be analyzing that next month as we look back over 2017. But the tax bill is going to be the big one on the agenda. And, you know, supposedly they've got the momentum, but this changes every day. You know, on the day we're doing this, it was Senator Rubio who was going to vote no. So you never know. This is going to be a live wire act going right down to the very end. So stay tuned. We'll be here to talk about it. In the meantime, on behalf of John Loeffler and myself, we'd like to thank you for joining us here on Lifetime Income. Until we talk again, we hope you have a Merry Christmas and a prosperous New Year.
The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense News Hour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies profiled on or advertised with Financial Sense, or arising out of the use of any material on the News Hour. Be advised that you invest at your own risk.